Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5 FM here in Palmer, Alaska, and it's also broadcasting on the internet at dogworksradio.com. And sitting beside me is our host for Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. She is the owner and lead trainer at Alaska Dog Works. They work with obedience, service dogs, aggressive dogs, the whole nine yards in terms of working with your furry friend. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going well. How about this weather?
It is going well. You know, it is very hot outside, and that is what we're going to talk about today. We mentioned this subject two or three episodes ago, but, you know, things are being brought to our attention that says that we need to speak about it again. It's about the heat and your dog, and I know that you have a story to share in just a minute or two about what you witnessed at the grocery store. But I was talking to a friend of mine, the CEO, I guess, of this channel, KVRF, and he was telling me about a couple of his encounters that he has had over the last couple of years here in Alaska when it's been quite hot, where a couple of dogs have died from this heat, even here in Alaska. And I want to get to that in a second. But before we do, Michelle, next week, we're going to continue our breed series, and I understand that we have a guest coming on that is part of the Golden Retriever Clubs.
Absolutely. We're going to be interviewing a wonderful lady by the name of Joyce, and she's going to be speaking to us about Golden Retrievers.
Golden Retrievers, I believe the second or third most popular breed in the United States. What can you share in terms of your history with the Golden?
Well, I don't know if you recall or not, but we had a pair of Goldens when I was a kid, and we bred them one time. You know, we did the perpetual backyard breeding just to try it out. But my parents and I, we raised livestock, and we had a farm, so it wasn't something that we were unfamiliar with. We knew what we were getting into. But my brother had the female. Her name was Sheena, and mine, I had the male, his name was Shane, and they yielded 14 puppies for us, and the vet had only predicted 8. So we had 14 Golden Retriever puppies that were all placed happily in their homes with friends of mine and other folks in and around our town, and we kept touch over the years with quite a few of them.
So, you know, I've also been involved with the Golden Retriever, not just in training for obedience and, you know, working with the dogs, but also one of my first service dogs that I ever worked with was the Golden Retriever by the name of Tux.
That is correct. Tux was a little bit of a troublemaker, if I can recall correctly, when he was a pup, as we were training him once in a public area outside eating. And Tux got off of his collar and proceeded to eat the ice cream right out of someone's hand.
He did. He munched on that ice cream and failed his test for the day.
He did, but he was only 6 months old.
He was. So I'm looking forward to that next week and next week talking about the glorious Golden Retriever. I look forward to having our guest on continuing our breed series. But before we get to that next week, we're going to talk about a problem that is even prevalent up here in Alaska. No, folks that are listening outside, we are not in our igloos surfing on our flip phones. We are in the midst of a heat wave up here. It is at least 85 to 90 degrees here in the Matsu Valley, record temperatures by a long term in terms of the history of the state, is it not?
Yes. From what I understand, it's not just the fact that we've reached triple digits and topped out at triple digits. It's the length of time that we have been at 80-plus degrees this summer that's making it such a significant year. In the seasons past, the past 3 or 4 years, we've exceeded 65 to 95 consecutive days of rain in the summer, which is a lot of rain, meaning it kept the temperatures in the low 50s, low 60s, and everybody did not feel like we had a summer. This year we've went from actually having snow. The last snowfall on the ground in the Matsu Valley was the week of May 5th, and by the first week of June we were hitting triple digits. So it's a significant turnaround for temperature for us. And in Alaska, we are lucky in the fact that we can typically keep our dogs with us all the time wherever we go, meaning that they stay in the cars when we go in the grocery store and things like that. And it's typically not too hot. It's more so you'll find here in Alaska that people get concerned that it's too cold, and they'll leave their vehicles running when they go in the stores and things to keep their dogs warm in the car. But as I mentioned on a previous show, if it's 70 degrees outside, within 15 minutes, even with your windows cracked, it is 110 degrees in your car.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I was talking to Mike earlier this morning about this, and he knows of two people whose dog had expired because of them being left in the car. At one point, like you said, the gentleman or lady had left the windows down and it just got too hot and the dog ended up expiring. But the second time, the person kept going out and checking on the dog to making sure that the dog was okay. And, you know, they thought, okay, well, if I check on him and he appears to be doing okay, everything's all right. And unfortunately, he or she expired as well. And, you know, that's what happens. You know, it gets too dang hot. You know, we lived in Denver for a long time, and it got above 100 a bunch of times. And it was unbearable for a person. I can just imagine a dog being left in the car. But, you know, Mike and I were talking about we haven't taken our dogs anywhere, he or I, all summer long because, you know, when you go someplace, you don't know. You know, you might be going to the store and just run in for a quick, whatever. But you never know who you're going to meet up with. And you might be in there for a half hour, 45 minutes or whatever. And the next thing you know, you've forgotten about your dog. And that was one of the cases that Mike had told me about. The person actually forgot about their dog being in the car. And unfortunately, that dog expired because of that. My first inclination is, how in the world can you forget about your dog in your car? But I guess in today's world, with everybody worried about social media and getting in and getting out and doing their own thing in their own little world, that's something that is a problem, isn't it?
It is, but it's not just a problem for dogs. I need to mention the same people that take their dogs and leave them in the car are the same people that leave their children in the car. You know, you were concerned the other day. We were at Home Depot, and you stayed in the car, and I came back out, and you said those people left their baby in the car. And I said, what do you mean baby? Are we talking about an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old? You go, no, it's in a car seat. If a child's in a car seat, they have no way to get out. It's an inappropriate age to leave your child in the car. It's the same for a dog. It's just not appropriate. The reasons why the dog seemed fine to the person that kept checking on it is because it is very difficult to recognize heat stroke in a dog. And the dogs that expire in cars die of heat stroke.
And we're going to talk about those signs and symptoms and what to do about that if it does occur, if you're able to get to your dog in time. But before we get into that, you called me the other day, or texted me as a matter of fact. You were at one of the local grocery stores on your way home from work, and something happened there. What was it?
Well, I was coming out of the store, and I could hear this small dog, possibly a puppy, possibly not. It was difficult to tell, but either way around it, think of a dog about, 12 inches in height. So small dog. Did seem to be young. And he's barking and barking and barking and barking, and he drew my attention. He was about 6 cars over in a large pickup truck that I could see where he was at. And he's barking and jumping up and down, looking towards the store. And I noticed the window on one side of the truck was about 6 inches rolled down, and on the other side it was about 8 inches rolled down, which sounds like it's suffice. But unless there's a good breeze coming along, it's not suffice. They can't get enough air. this was particularly a warm day. It was about 82 degrees, even though it was about 5 o'clock in the evening, so it was fairly warm. Next thing I know is I'm putting my groceries in my car. The puppy runs right by my feet. I look back to the truck that he was in, notice there was no more barking, and I'm like, oh my God, he jumped out of that car. This was a lifted pickup truck. It had to be a good 3 feet off the ground. So the puppy jumped from the seat out the window onto the ground. He's lucky he didn't get hurt, number one. That's pretty far of a fall. He's running around in the parking lot that is extremely busy with people and cars coming and going, and he's a little black puppy. It's hard for you to see him. So I stop what I'm doing. The lady and her child see the puppy. We're both looking for this puppy. I said, where are those lot kids that we just saw pulling in the carts? She said, I think they went inside. I'm following the puppy who's trying to run inside. The lot people come out, and I tell the kids, hey, this dog jumped out of that car. We can't catch him. And they notified the owner eventually and caught him. But the point of the matter is even if you've left your dog in the car and you think that they're secure and they're safe and they're enjoying their time alone while you went in the store, they're not. They're absolutely not enjoying their time. They want out. They want to see where you are. They want to go with you. And going with you comes back to what I do mostly at Alaska Dog Works, and that's train service dogs. Not all dogs are allowed to be in the store.
That's right. So, therefore, that dog that you take on that short little jaunt to the grocery may be, in fact, forced to stay in that car. And in this case, what if he does jump out and in a busy parking lot, which is parallel to a very busy highway, one of the most busiest highways in Alaska, that will unfortunately have dire consequences. So,
you know, but Robert, I need to bring this to people's attention. In Colorado, for sure, we didn't just have issues with people leaving their dogs in cars. There are people that travel with their cats in their cars as well. I did see that on quite a few occasions in Colorado. So even if you're not a cat person, one of your friends maybe, they need to not travel with their cats in the car either. We always hear about dogs dying in cars because it's more prevalent to take your dog places with you in a car. Most cats don't enjoy car rides, but some do. Any pet should not be left in a car 70 degrees or warmer temperatures.
Well, I think the only thing that would enjoy it would be an iguana or a Burmese python.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would travel with either of those in the car.
So the point is, do not travel in the heat with your dog. They just can't handle it. So let's talk about heat stroke, a problem that occurs in all dog breeds, and in particular the brachioceptic or the short-nosed or short-mouthed breeds, you know, your bulldogs, your pit bulls, your
pugs.
Pomeranians, pugs, any dog that has, quote-unquote, a smash face, which is...
Well, not a Pomeranian. It would be a Pekingese.
A Pekingese instead of a Pomeranian. So, heat stroke. Remember that dogs can only dispel perspiration through panting. Often they do not have a way to get rid of that heat other than panting, and of course the old adage of it going through their paws. So if you suspect heat stroke, seek veterinary attention immediately. So here are some of the signs and symptoms of heat stroke. Now, some of these obviously you're not going to be able to figure out in the parking lot of your car, such as body temperature of 104 to 110 degrees. That is a very hot dog. Number two, excessive panting. Number three, dark or bright red tongue and gums. Number four, sticky or dry tongue and gums. Number five, this is the important one, guys, staggering stupor or seizures. And then bloody diarrhea or vomiting. And finally, a rapid heartbeat. So what do you think about those, Michelle? That are sure signs of heat stroke, especially in dogs, but also in people as well.
I think that people need to be aware that heat stroke can come on fairly quickly, but based on those symptoms, some of those symptoms can go on for a couple of days. So if you are a person that leaves your dogs outside, like we are as mushers, you need to not only make sure that they have ample water and access to shade, you need to make sure that they have a ventilated area that they live in.
That's exactly right. So it is definitely a problem no matter where your dogs are, but in cars in particular. And I still haven't quite figured out why people don't understand this. You know, I see it all the time. I saw it two or three times just this morning with people not getting the message, and that's why we wanted to talk about this today.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're out and about right now in Alaska and this is temperatures that you're not used to, keep in mind, yes, this little segment is about heat stroke and not having your dog in a car, but it's also an awareness for you as well. If you go outside right this moment and you put your hand on the ground, if you can't hold your hand, your palm on the ground for more than 10 seconds without pulling it away, it's too hot to take your dog for a walk.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there's all kinds of topics we could get into in terms of it being warm, and you know, it's just a fact of life in the summertime, and that's what can occur. So be careful with your dogs out there. So if you suspect or you know that your dog is a little bit too hot, there are some tips that you can do to help cool your dog down. And remember, if you're in an area that does not have access to shade or water, you're going to find yourself fighting uphill. So the first one, find some shade, get your pet out of the heat. Do this immediately. Do not think that just because you drive to the grocery or the shopping center or whatever, and you go in there and you do your shopping and it's only been 10 or 15 minutes, and then you come back to the car and you start it up and blow the cold air from the air conditioning on your dog, that's going to help, isn't it? It is not, is it, Michelle?
No, it's not. And don't think that because the car is shaded that it's going to provide enough cool shade for your dog. It's not. It's just not going to happen.
You know, I got to say something I just thought of that was very prevalent in the 80s. Do you remember those sunshades with the glasses on them that you put on in your windshield?
Yes.
And they had these funky big glasses, 1980s style glasses. You know, you don't see those things much anymore, do you?
No, you don't.
I wonder why.
I have no idea, but it's not going to provide enough shade for a dog.
It isn't. So, maybe we should bring back the sunshade.
Maybe.
I think that would be a good idea.
The dash saver.
Or a dash saver. Number two, place cool, wet cloths on the feet and around your dog's head. What do you think about that one?
Yes. You want to do it on their pads because that's the fastest way for them to cool down. And on their head, you want to not put them in you don't want to put them in ice.
Right. You know, that's our next tip. Use cool water, not ice, to cool your pet. Very cold water will constrict the blood vessels and impede cooling. It's just like what I did the other day. You know, it was a very hot day up in our neck of the woods in Willow, and we headed over to the lake, and, you know, being 40 years old plus, I jumped into the lake and dang near froze my butt off, and the kids, they enjoyed it. So I think what happened is those blood vessels constricted very quickly, and I was not about to go in there again. I was freezing my tail off.
You're just an old man.
I don't know about that. 40 years old is not old by any stretch of the imagination. So watch out for that cold water. It will constrict those blood vessels relatively quickly, and then you're fighting that uphill battle. Number four, offer ice cube to the animal to lick. What do you think about that one?
I would wait until you got their feet cooler and see how they're acting before I offered ice for them to lick, especially if ice is something that you use as a treat for them and they typically enjoy eating it quickly. You don't want them to ingest it. You want to make sure that they just lick it.
Right, that's exactly right. And the last one.
We also would place a cool cloth on their stomach, where there's less hair as well.
That tip is not listed on this infographic, I believe they're called. So the last one, probably the most important one, is if this does occur, seek veterinary attention immediately. We cannot stress that enough. You know, don't be the mommy that cries wolf or whatever it's called and think, he's okay now, I'm not going to worry about it. Get him to the vet if you have experienced any major issue with your dog. Do not be afraid to give them a call.
Well, first and foremost, if you're going to the store, unless you have a companion going with you that can take that dog on a walk while you're in the store, don't take the dog along.
That's right. And remember, folks, if you're going to take your dog to the veterinarian, I know this is an issue to a lot of folks, it always happens on the weekend and in the evening, so you're going to pay that emergency fee as well.
That's right.
So watch out for that. It could not only hurt your dog, but it could hurt your pocketbook as well. So what else is on tap, Michelle? Oops, that was a very high pitch sound. I think I'm signing up for the voice as a soprano. What do you think?
I think possibly your blood vessels are still constricted.
It very well could be. So what else is on tap, Michelle? We have about 10 minutes left.
Well, what else is on tap? You know, the summer is really starting to get into full swing. Wondering if anybody out there was able to enjoy the Anchorage Pet Expo that just occurred. Would love to hear some stories about that. And I know that a lot of people are, like I said, out and about doing things with their dogs, whether it be jogging, hiking, biking, going up Flat Top. Be careful out there. You know, somebody else just fell on Flat Top and got injured pretty good. Some people have been out on the mud flaps, as we all know, gotten injured. Those are not safe areas for your pets. So proceed with caution. And always, always check the temperature of the ground.
Yes, if it's too hot for your hand to be on the ground, it's too hot for their pads. Remember, they're walking barefoot.
That's right.
So, and I believe most dogs are tenderfoot.
Most of them, I would imagine, are.
So,
and putting on the booties in the summertime, there's a few tourists that come through, and they will buy the booties to put on their dogs when they're walking around the markets and things in Anchorage. It's not always a good idea to put on booties on your dog in the summer months because it impedes them from actually breathing and sweating the way that they're supposed to.
Yes, remember they do release some of that heat through their pads on their feet, so be careful with that. So, Michelle, we got about 3 minutes left. Do you have a story to share, a training tip, et cetera?
I have a story to tell about a camp dog named Petey who's visiting us right now. Very, very beautiful 10-month-old German Shepherd who has eluded us for the first few days as to how good he really is, and he's showing some true colors lately. Keep in mind, when your dog is about 10 months of age, he's going to go through what we call adolescent angst, and all of the things that you've spent time and energy on teaching him how to do, sit down, come, and stay, some of those kind of go out the window, and they get what we call selective hearing. And Robert knows this all too well. Most clients that seek out dog training advice seek it out between the ages of 9 months and 18 months of age for their dog. And the number one reason would be?
Lack of manners.
No, it'd be the teenage angst. So they go through a change in their life cycle, and they start to test the waters again. So you now have a teenager, even though your dog is still under 1 year of age. He is going to start exploring his possibilities and seeing what he can get away with.
There you go. So that is our tip of the day. A little tip and a story about one of the dogs that is with us right now, Petey, the German Shepherd. So until next time, on behalf of our host for DogWorks Radio, her name is Michelle. Michelle Forto is her name. She can be reached at dogworksradio.com is our home spot for this show. You can listen to all of our podcast, download them anytime you wish, or you can listen to it live here on KVRF 89.5 every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We will see you next time. Goodbye.